This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
You know, I think now I've got my sober eyes on, I might go to something like the races and you're just looking at all these guys out there just absolutely smashed and hammered. I think they do have a duty of care to kind of pare things back. And I think that, you know, you might get comments like, oh, you're a loser, or don't be soft and all that sort of stuff, because all the boys are kind of going hardcore. But I think there needs to be kind of a revolution started, and almost particularly with men, where they actually take stock and say, look, actually, this isn't good for me. You know, I think not drinking really is a restorative self-care program that I think everyone needs to check into. And I think particularly men need to look at it too.
Just a little snippet there from this week's guest on Over the Influence, on the other side of the actual world. Yes, Hayden Sayers, who is an OTI community member, 16 months or thereabouts alcohol free, got up at the absolute crack of dawn. It was something like 5 o'clock his time. Hayden lives in Auckland in New Zealand. And in his words, which you will hear during the course of this episode, simply decided to retire from drinking. It's a fabulous chat. He's a brilliant community member and he's got so much to share. Enjoy the episode.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name's Nicole and I'm from Brisbane in Australia. I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and had just begun yet another attempt at a non-drinking stint when I discovered the Over the Influence podcasts. The timing couldn't have been better. I binge listened to them all, joined the OTI community and have never looked back. If, like me, you've tried and tried to put down the plonk, but even after some success, keep finding yourself pulled back into the mire, join us in the OTI community, where we all share our stories of what works and what doesn't and where we're currently at. Everyone's just so full of understanding and inspiration. In a few weeks, I'll reach a whole year without a single drop, and I can't thank the OTI community enough. You guys rock and make all the difference in the booze-free world.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. We're a little bit giddy today for many different reasons. Mine being that today, as we record, 6 years alcohol-free. Who'd have flipping thunk it? Yeah, no, it's dead good. I'm dead chuffed. It's been such a good day. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I decided to take a break from booze. That's all it was ever going to be. Just a break to reset and grow up and drink in moderation and all that jazz. That was exactly 6 years ago to the day. Everything I thought that would happen didn't. I thought it would be rubbish. It's actually been life-changing and just continues to be so. I drank too much, too quickly, far too often, and now I absolutely love choosing an alcohol-free life. Ben Anderson, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm Ben, I'm 36, Liverpool, gave up booze 4 years ago. My intro today is dedicated to you, Sharon, because my mate is 6 years alcohol-free. Yeah. And I have to say, Sharon, it's not like you to forget to mention that you've got a book coming out on the 2nd of January.
Because
No, you didn't. It was the official announcement today. I mean, we told OTI a while ago.
Oh, it's blown me away.
But the world found out today on Sharon's 6 years alcohol-free day that she's releasing a book on the 2nd of January called The Life-Changing Magic of Quitting Alcohol. You can pre-order it now. I've pre-ordered 10 copies because I know that you're nervous about sales.
Yeah, and he actually has. So thank you. You've bumped me up the rankings. I'm very, very grateful. But of course, it's not all about us, is it? This podcast, Ben. It is about the guests. And today we are well excited. We always love it when a community member joins us on the podcast. And as well, I mean, we've got to start off by saying to Hayden Sayers, currently based in Auckland, New Flipping Zealand, thank you for setting your alarm. Thank you for getting up.
Good morning.
Tomorrow. He's in the future. Hayden, how are you doing? Welcome to the pod.
I'm good. Kia ora, thank you. From New Zealand, yes, 5 a.m. in the morning, and I'm excited to be here.
You don't look too excited, Hayden. Is that just because it's the alarm's not gone off long ago? Are we still waking up?
Yeah, to be fair, a little bit tired, but look, it's going to be worth it today. I'm excited to tell my story and yeah, communicate with you guys.
Brilliant. Well, again, thank you so much. We massively appreciate it for you joining us today at the other side of the world. In the future, it blows my mind actually that it's tomorrow where you are, but I'm very easily confused. But also, thank you for joining our community when you did. I suppose first question, as we always ask our guests, just tell us a little about you. You know, I've mentioned that you're in Auckland, New Zealand. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I'm actually a chartered accountant for my job, and people meet me and they say, "You're so not a chartered accountant." And I just laugh because I'm actually not. So that's quite funny. I'm married. I've got 4 kids, raised in Whangarei, a little town 2 hours north of Auckland in New Zealand, grew up there. And yeah, I went to England actually for about nine years at one point. So I think with the community and what's drawn me to it too is just, you know, all the little British quotes and sayings. I still get that humor very well. I understand some of the places you've been, and the people. But yeah, I'm, nearly 16 months alcohol free. And yeah, really don't know why I'm here. Don't know why I'm on this podcast. Don't know why I've joined the community, but I have. And the strangest thing of it all is I'm really having a good time and enjoying sober life.
Let's try and find out why. Let's try and answer those questions then, Hayden, because there's a reason that OTI popped into your life, but we don't know how that happened. So maybe let's start with that.
Yeah, I think the older I've become, I'm about to turn 48 in October. I remember being at my 40th birthday and I'd gone out the night before with my brother and we got absolutely plastered. And the next day was my 40th birthday. And I remember thinking, holy hell, man, am I going to be another decade of hungover, feeling like crap? So that was kind of, I remember that, you know, that happening and thinking, well, there's got to be more to this than that. And then I think the rest of those years sort of, you know, they dissolve as they do, the older we get. And COVID kind of hit New Zealand as well. And I think around the first COVID, I went pretty hard. Where it was, you know, in the UK, I think you could, you know, get alcohol delivered to your house and you were working and you were drinking. And I kind of, it was about 2021, I believe, and I was sort of just starting to do stints of 3 months without alcohol and finally sort of trying to explore it. I mean, back then, again, I don't think there was a lot of quit lit out there. Podcasts were kind of new as well. And it wasn't probably until 2022 that I discovered OTI. And when I did, I just, you know, like a vacuum sucked it all up, listened, you know, back to episodes right from your guys' inception. And, you know, the 20 and 20, I remember that, Ben. Yeah.
Thought, everybody,
I had a friend
that
actually trying to attempt a very similar thing. And I thought, well, you can't really just do 20 one night onlys, you know, in the year.
Yeah. If you'd not heard that, by the way, this was my moderation plan, which failed miserably. I was like, what I'm going to do in 2020, I'll have 20 days where I can have a drink. But on the other 345, I won't. I'd use my 20 days within the first, I think it was the first few days of the pandemic, actually. I was like, yeah, right. There we are. 20 days gone. So it didn't work for me, Hayden. But hey.
Yeah. And it was a good concept, but, you know, you had to really spread out those 20 major events. But I think it was around then that I was really starting to go, look, I'm just tired all the time. I'm in bed on a Sunday. I'm grumpy. I'd never had mood issues at all or depression, but, you know, I was starting to get a bit, like, dark on anxious, just all these thoughts that I didn't really want to happen. So I was sort of just leading into, I guess, a change in mindset for the first time ever. And this sporadic 2 or 3 months started to think, what should I do next? And I know it sounds corny, but I was kind of almost praying to Jesus to say, hey, look, give me something so I actually can give up drinking. You know, like, is that, I don't know, just some sort of kick in the butt type thing. And what kind of happened was it was one weekend in particular, you know, went out and I had this really big pain in my foot, and I sort of woke up in the middle of the night, and it transpired it was gout. So the body had finally, or the Jesus had finally said, look, this is something we can work on here. And I sort of kept drinking and I was hobbling around. I was in a moon boot, and it was sort of three successive weekends where I wasn't still kind of taking any priority around it. And I came to the point where I was like, this is just crazy. I can't even walk. I'm giving up drinking. This time I'm going to give it a real big shot. And I did. And so that was May 14th, 2022.
And here we are today, Ben.
Hayden, can I ask you, because, you know, we've not met in real life because you're in Auckland, New Zealand, but we spent a lot of time on Zoom together, which has been an absolute pleasure. When you look at you, Hayden, you are all man. Like when you said earlier that people go, oh, you don't look like an accountant. I mean, if you told me that you were Black Sabbath's accountant or the, you know, Guns N' Roses accountant, I'd believe him. You know, you've got this long flowing hair, this fabulous
great
beard.
Hair, Hayden.
But you are, you look at you and you are all man. But you are one of the most thoughtful people I have ever met. Have you always been this kind of kind and considerate and thoughtful, or is that something that alcohol-free life gave you?
Look, good question. I mean, the hair is, I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, one thing I did when I gave up drinking is I said to myself, I'm just going to try new things. So I thought, right, if I've got it, I'm going to grow it. And you know, some people say, oh, you look like this cool surfer guy. And some people go, it's ridiculous, cut it off. So it's kind of this, you know, 50-50 balance. When I lived in England, well, being a chartered accountant, I moved into advertising agencies. So I had just the most, you know, best experiences and stuff and working in those creative environments. But I was always the sort of finance guy. So it's sort of back to what you're saying, I was pseudo serious, but always up for a good time.
The reason I ask you, Hayden, is because, you know, on Zoom when you can do like the little kind of like hearts or whatever on the screen, like whenever someone says something kind of deep, you're the first person to get that hearts button pressed, you know, and I think, you know, you look at you and you're a bloke, you're a man, Black Sabbath's accountant, you know, but you've obviously got this really caring side to you where you're not afraid to, you know, I think with men a lot, you do, it's stereotypical, and obviously we're not all like that, but it's that kind of bloke, strong, silent type, you know, I don't share my feelings, I don't do that, you know. But you're not like that at all, and I just wondered if that's always been the case or if that's something that, you know, removing alcohol gave.
Yeah, I'd probably say it's always been the case. I've probably got a big heart for people, you know, but at the same time, I think I don't know. I think there's been a lot of self-discovery since I turned 40. People, my friends call me Guru Hayden now. I kind of, I guess, look a bit like that. But I think it's just a journey when you, well, I think too, when you have more time to yourself after you've given up some, you know, nights of drinking, because man, does the calendar open up with opportunity and time to be spent on yourself. I've done a lot of self-reflection on things, so I think maybe that's part of it as well.
Yet another guest, Hayden, and this comes up so often, where the seeds are planted years ago. So you said you're 48 now, you know, you've thought back already to your 40th birthday and you're like, God, do I want another decade of this? Well, you know, you started similar sort of age to me. I was 44 when I, you know, took that break, and that's all it was ever going to be. Didn't expect to be 6 years sober today. And I'm just reading through the notes that you sent us, because we always ask our guests a few questions. And you say here that you want men to understand that they have a duty of care to get out of the get smashed cycle. What do you mean by that?
I think, well, growing up in New Zealand, you know, in the 90s, well, the 90s is when I went to university, and it's much the same across the world, in particular, I think in England, guys just can get wasted. and that's the sort of, they start the drink, first drink open, and they just go for it. And, you know, I think now I've got my sober eyes on, I might go to something like the races, and you're just looking at all these guys out there just absolutely smashed and hammered. I think they do have a duty of care to kind of pair things back. And I think that, you know, you might get comments like, oh, you're a loser, or don't be soft and all that sort of stuff, because all the boys are kind of going hardcore. But I think there needs to be kind of a revolution started, almost particularly with men, where they actually take stock and say, look, actually, this isn't good for me. You know, I think not drinking really is a restorative self-care program that I think everyone needs to check into. And I think particularly men need to look at it too. On Over the Influence, and when I talk in the community and in the forums, there seems to be less men on there, but my understanding, and I might be wrong, is you actually have more men listeners. Is that correct?
You know what? I'll get up the stats while you're talking, but yes, yeah. It's always been the case that, because I think, you know, we've got quite a lot of fellas in the community, but it's definitely more women than men. But yes, on the, sorry, you carry on and I'll get the stats.
And I remember hearing Ben, you say that in one of the many podcasts I've listened to. And I think that kind of sums it up. They're too afraid to take the step out from behind the bloody, you know, background to actually go put a face to it, you know. And I think in, you know, New Zealand in particular, there's a lot of, you know, when going into other all sorts of things, but suicide or self-harm or accidents, and predominantly it's men and predominantly it's alcohol-related. And I think that if we – the stigma around not drinking – is really so complex, I think, for men sometimes, because they can't share their feelings or they can't sort of own up to it. And I think that part of the reason I've come on this is to actually kind of say, well, you know, time to kind of take stock and time to kind of acknowledge that. And if I can convince some other guys to actually start doing the Zooms or joining the community, I think that that's a really good thing tried to achieve. Yeah.
What's it been like then for you navigating this in your late 40s, given the pressures of society? No doubt you've had a group of, you know, male mates. You know, you've talked, you know, yourself about your drinking history. How hard has it been?
Well, I think a lot of people were surprised in me pairing it back, because I wasn't that person. I was the person that basically left the party at the end. I was the person that could drink, you know, like fish. But look, I've always had quite a high degree of level of self-confidence. So I remember seeing a friend at a party and he was sires, why have you stopped drinking? And I just turned to him and looked at him and said, so I don't look like you, you know.
How did that go down?
Yeah, everyone cracking up. Which generated a few laughs. But look, I mean, tongue in cheek there. But no, look, I think if I put my mind to something, I can tend to do it. I think this is the kind of stigma around it. Like, you think when you give up that it's a jail sentence, you know, both arms have been cut off. Your life's never going to be the same again. You're basically moving to a nunnery and it's over for you. Well, it's not. It's I believe that first 3 months of navigation through it to kind of get to the point where you're confident enough to say, well, no, I'm not drinking. And a fair amount of, I don't know, props and, you know, BS can also get you there. I mean, I had a friend's wedding and I was one of the groomsmen, and I just kept filling up my beer bottle with water in the bathroom and sipping on that all night, and no one knew, you know. So that was, you know, that was a prop example. Because sometimes you actually just can't be bothered telling people initially. There's actually one really good friend of mine, a couple, and I still don't know I don't drink because I still have not bothered to have the conversation with them. You
That's
know,
really interesting, isn't it? They're going to know after this podcast has come out.
They're going to know after this podcast, but they were the ones, I think, in particular, massive drinkers that I thought, you know, they would be the ones who'd probably be the hardest to kind of explain it to. So I've just sort of used props through the kind of, you know, navigation of seeing them. But look, I think ultimately, I think you've just got to stand your ground. You've just got to be confident and say, no, I'm not drinking at the moment. And it's funny because a couple of my friends have actually started to stop drinking on the back of,
You're a lighthouse.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it's totally me. I mean, they probably needed to. And so if they've seen one person do it, I think that that's been encouraging for them. But I have one particular friend who he gave up before me. And I remember this conversation with him on the phone, and I was saying, oh, no, I'm giving up too, and I'm never going to drink again. And, you know, let's do this together. And then 2 weeks later, I was back drinking and he wasn't. So we still laugh about that today. But having him not drinking has been quite an amazing bolt on to my not drinking, because I can call him up, we can have conversations, we can discuss things, have laughs. Yeah, so that's been really helpful for me.
I must say at this point, Hayden, there's something that you said on one of the Zoom calls once that lots of people have taken on board and they use this. And this is part of the context as well, because I know that you don't look back on your drinking days as kind of like regretful. Or, yeah, you had some great times when you were drinking alcohol. I feel like that as well. And we talked to, it was Sarah, wasn't it? The Mumsy Mum. When we were talking about that kind of, it was fine back in, you know, a certain part for me, fine back in my 20s. Actually, it started to change when I got into my 30s, and that's why I've removed it now. But you say, and loads of people have nicked this from you, and it works really well, is that you say that you've retired, don't you? That's your phrase. Why aren't you drinking? I've retired.
Yeah, no, I came up with that, and I should have done some sort of trademark on it, to be fair.
But it's I been nicked a few times.
It's really good.
But yeah, it was just one day. A friend of mine said something about drinking. I was a client, I think, and I said, "Oh, well, no, I've actually retired from drinking." And
they kind of looked at me. It was Axl Rose.
Yeah, yeah. And I could see their reaction to it, and I thought, "Hang on, there's something in this." And I think what I like about saying, "Well, I've retired from drinking," is I've done it on my own terms. I have decided that I've had this brilliant career drinking, you know, many adventures, great stories. You know, I liken it to like a sportsman, you know, having their last match or ending their career. I've decided now just to move into a different direction, and I have no regrets, because I absolutely don't have regrets. I loved drinking. I mean, drinking is fun. Let's not, you know, demonize drinking. It's an incredible experience. It's just the levels of people and their ability to handle drinking are quite different. And I think the older I got, I learned that some of those people, or some of those levels of drinking, are actually none. And that's kind of where I'm comfortable now in with my retirement. So I think it's a nice way also just to sort of take the stigma out of it. You know, I'm not drinking ever again versus, no, well, I've decided at the moment I've retired. And you can come out of retirement, you know, you can decide to go and do a few, you know, hours or a few things. At the moment, I don't want to come out of retirement. But yeah, that's how I framed it. And I think it's a really just practical, nice way of saying, hey, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. And it's on my terms, as I said.
Mm. And it gets a laugh as well. You know, it's a great
and
line.
It totally gets a laugh.
Yeah, but, you know, disarm people with humour. I think it works brilliantly. You know, we talk about this lots, is that kind of, you know, who was it we were talking to about red people, amber people and green people, Shaz?
Oh,
Mandy Manners. Mandy Manners, Love Sober. Years ago this was. And she talked to us about, you know, some people, red people are just people who'll never get it. You know, amber people or maybe green people respond quite well. And she had a kind of set line for each of those red, amber and green people. And it can be really useful to do that, to have that kind of stock response almost in your head, you know, because you never know when it's going to come about. Yes, you've got the kind of obvious ones. You're at a wedding, your works, drinks or whatever. But sometimes it just kind of catch you out the blue, these kind of conversations. I love that you can just go, oh, I've retired. You know, it works for you. It's something that disarms them a bit. It's funny. You know, it does sum up, actually. You know, yeah, I don't look back with shame or regret. It just doesn't work for me anymore. In two words, you've managed to encompass what me and Chaz and Sarah were trying to get to in a whole podcast episode.
Yeah.
But it is. It's so, I love it. I just think it's really clever.
Yeah. I mean, the other one I was saying too is I said to my wife, oh, look, I don't think I should really come on this podcast because I'm too... I haven't been not drinking long enough. I'm a baby to this. And she actually turned around and she said, well, actually, Hayden, you're not a baby. You're a toddler. So I'm in my toddler phase of non-drinking as well. You know, so I think if you can look at all these things without the big, are you an alcoholic? And, you know, the big stigma words around alcohol and just practically take it back a level, I think that it just gives it more of a kind of, you know, less aggressive format.
Yeah.
And I think that's key too, because again, when you're not, you're starting out your journey and you're not drinking, you can feel like your arm's going to be cut off, but you just got to take every day as it comes, but just be kinder to yourself as well, you know? Yeah, I think small steps and you get there. I mean, look, I blink and I'm coming up to 16 months, which is 477 days. I'm going to hit 500 days soon. That's incredible. Again, I don't know why I'm here, you know, but I am. Yeah.
And that in itself, I mean, I love what you said there. Just to go back to how you described that about retiring, it just makes it, it's so refreshing and it makes it more palatable, I think. And, you know, as Ben, how often does he say it, Hayden? You don't need a rock bottom. You can actually just decide to stop drinking. I remember you in the community in your early days. At what point for you did you go, this is good, this is working, I'm enjoying this, and the not drinking became better than drinking?
I've tried many things. Like I had done hypnotism in the past. I'd gone to see this hypnotist to stop drinking. I had read lots of Quit Lit. I had kind of started saying, well, if I go to this event tonight, then I'm not going to drink, or I'm going to have two beers, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then boom, this big kind of minefield goes through your head. There was Chris Hoos, who's on the community. He's very cool. I was listening in the car driving and he had said that basically drinking is a bad habit, and basically it blew my brains apart. I thought, what is this all it is? How could that be so simple? And that was kind of the timing around, I think it was about 6 months from memory of not drinking, and that's when it all sort of started coming together. There's little nuggets of wisdom from the community just help you on the path, and I believe that 6 months is where things start coming together. At 6 months, I was so tired. I just had to sleep weekends. It was like I had some sort of sleeping sickness. And I think reading all the Quit Lit now, William Porter's book as well, once that was sort of timed around the 6 months, I mean, that again blew my brains out, you know. I think the more you do it, the more experiences you have not drinking, you tend to just start creating this magic in your life. And I think that's where it all came for me, about that six-month period. Yeah.
It's really interesting. Chaz, you just said then when talking about the I've retired quote that, you know, it makes it more palatable. And actually, that's exactly what OTI is all about, really, isn't it? In terms of people who are just starting off, it's about making it a bit more palatable, you know,
well,
taking
also
away that
acceptable
stigma. Acceptable, yeah. Because at some point you get to that, for Hayden, for you, it was 6 months. At some point you get to that. Like, I suppose we kind of take away that sting, is the word that you used earlier, Hayden, to kind of get people going. There comes a point where you don't need to be palatable anymore. You don't need to justify or think of that the right language, because you just start going, oh, of course I'm doing this. Like, I'd be an idiot to stopping now. Like, I'd be an absolute idiot to go back to drinking.
It would, but Ben, the key from my perspective is, if you're into football or you're into cars or you're into, I don't know, AC/DC, and you went into a room with 30 other people, right, and just sat in there and all you talked about was AC/DC or cars or cricket or whatever, you're going to be, because you're so into it, or you're starting to learn about all this new wisdom and experience and understand these things, and then you can go off and research in this direction and go down that rabbit hole. That is what the community does. So for all those people who haven't signed on yet, just give it a go, because you go into these Zooms and you go down a rabbit hole into someone else's life. They might be in America, they might be in Europe, they might be in England, wherever, Australia, and you've got this commonality of something you want to learn about or you're interested in. And then from there, that's where you sort of keep growing on your pathway forward to stop drinking. Because like I said earlier, someone gives you a little nugget of wisdom that you can take on or dwell on or think about or write it in a journal, or you can then email people, text them, WhatsApp them. I've got friends from the community I WhatsApp all the time. I've never even met them. You know, there's certain people on there. Like, I think Niall is one of the coolest guys I've ever, you know, come across. Cool. I mean,
he's such a dude.
He's such a cool guy.
And his six pack. Oh, dear God.
He hasn't got a six. He's got more than
six. Have you
said
it? It's like a 15 pack.
Yeah.
He's got when he got his top off recently. Yeah. He looked in form, eh? Yeah, he looked in form.
Literally, abs on his abs.
Yeah. Yeah.
His six pack has got mini six packs on it.
Sorry, we're digressing. Bring it back to Hayden and his connections within the community.
Yes.
You were saying, Hayden.
Yes.
Just that is a really cool thing to do. And back to it. If you kind of what's holding you back, I think if you're a little bit wary on your journey with stopping the alcohol, definitely dive into the community. And give it a go. I mean, it's not going to hinder you. It's actually going to help you, you know. So, and I mean, I have to get up. I mean, Ben, I've had a few, sessions with you, but that's a Saturday night here in New Zealand. And not that I'm out boozing anymore, but it's quite difficult. So then I'm up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I mean, why hell that I'm doing that to talk to Sharon? So there's you know, all sorts of abilities to connect to outside of the forum. You know, Niall and is it Mikey are doing that, music.
Album of the month, no less. Album of the month in OTI.
This thing is just growing like a mushroom now. It's cool, really cool.
It is. And you know what? And you're right. There's loads of cool people in it. You know, you are one of them, Hayden. You know, it's we're not a kind of, oh, we all give up alcohol and we sit here.
Alcohol's
and it's the
terrible,
only thing we ever talk about is removing alcohol. You know, it's not that, is it? It's just, it's people just getting together and talking about all sorts of different shit. It just happens to be that, you know, we've all got that same alcohol-free foundation. Yeah. That's all.
I think that we get stuck in a loop of alcohol and we consume because, back to Chris, it is a bad habit. And habits can be broken, but I think you go into the self-soothing mechanism because getting, you know, alcohol into you just sort of takes you away from things, but it's knowing where that limit gets to. And I really want to make, you know, it clear that whether you have this train smash moment where it's all ending for you or you don't, it goes back again to the degree of alcohol that you think you can cope with. And, I just think the stigma around alcohol is silly. You know, it self creates all these sort of stigmas. So whether you did have a really bad problem, went to rehab and almost lost your life, versus if you actually just time to retire and hang up your boots because you just can't be bothered going to your kid's sport on the weekend hungover, good luck to you. But however you are, whatever you're doing, you know, this community is an essential part of being able to, you know, help you get through that.
Hayden, has it surprised you? As in joining the community and making the connections and now fast forward being 16 months alcohol free?
Yeah, well, I keep saying I don't know why I'm here. So yes, it has surprised me. I could confidently say I'm not going to drink again as well. And I think that through the passage of time, that has become quite clear. I used to have so much trouble sleeping. I had night terrors, all these things. You know, I'd go and do shamanic healing to get rid of these, you know, spirits that would visit me at night. Like my bedroom was a gateway between two worlds or something. It was crazy. I'd wake up screaming all the time, and I gave up alcohol and that got cured. You know,
that's the strangest one I've heard yet, Hayden, I've got to say.
Well, you You probably want a half an hour with my wife to just say, look, the animation in the night of just stirring. And then I read all these Quitlet books and said, well, that's what's happening. It's your sleep. You know, stop drinking. You know, I've lost something like maybe 7 kilos of weight. We're really not changing my diet.
People have said to us, and you should always, always talk to your GP, your docs, please go and speak to them first before you do anything. But people have said to us like, oh, yeah, you know, I removed alcohol and I've been on antidepressants for years. And actually now I don't take that medication anymore. I don't need that medication anymore. That blew my mind when I heard that. But, I don't have spirits visiting me in the night anymore. But what a horrible way to sleep is so important. Like sleep is
totally. And so that has transformed me. Honestly, I would wake up screaming. I would wake up, I'd get up and I'd run straight into a wall. This was getting really, really out of control. I can go and we could have a whole session on this, but basically since giving up the alcohol, I sleep the best I've ever slept in my life. Amazing. And now to me, sleep is like this amazing treat experience, you know?
Yeah.
Can we just,
you're getting older when you're like, oh God, I had a great, great weekend. I got so much sleep.
Seriously. I think we should just take a moment on this episode to appreciate the gift that is sleep. So myself and Ben were recording the premium podcast earlier and he was like, Shaz, you know, what are your highlights of the last 6 years? And I was like, oh, you know, relationship with family is so good and I've got the job of my dreams and I've got a book coming out in the new year. What I failed to say was actually just, let's just push all that to one side. Obviously the podcast and the community, the sleep is just, it's a gift. And I am now of the age and at the stage, Hayden, where I come home from work, I put my pajamas on, I'm out of an early bath, and I'm looking at the clock going, yes, in just 2 hours' time, I'm getting in that bad boy. And by the bad boy, I mean the bed. And there is nothing greater, is there? It's just the best feeling ever.
There's nothing greater. And back to my guru Hayden comment, I've created a wellness center downstairs in my basement. So I've now got a sauna. I've put mirrors up in the gym area and I just go in there and I meditate. I sit in the sauna. I think about my sleep. Things I never would have done before have just become, you know, the best part of life, you know?
Yeah.
It could never now outweigh getting back on the booze and having a massive session. You know, I think if I did, I'd actually probably drop dead. I just don't think the zen in my body now could cope, you know? I think the...
do you ever put your head on the pillow and you just go, oh, like little grunts of, oh, this is gold.
Totally.
Or is that just me?
Yeah, it's there's nothing better.
Well, you know what is the best part of life, Hayden? Let's take away, you know, the fact that you're alcohol-free in the sleep. You know, because you created a wellness center in your basement because obviously you want to be ready for life. You know, you say in your email, you talk about drinking and how, you know, we touched on it earlier, that, you know, especially for blokes, that idea that you kind of drink away your problems and you don't confront them. And, you know, because what you're doing now is that you're prioritizing yourself so that you're ready and available and awake for those really important things in life. So what are they for you?
Well, I think ultimately it's family. Like I said earlier, I've got 4 kids. We went for our third kid and we got twins, which was out of nowhere. They're about to turn 9. My oldest daughter, she's 14. My son's about to turn 12. I think it's going on a Saturday to watch them play sport. My wife and I are now taxi drivers. We just drive them everywhere. And I think life is really about family and connection with friends. And I think really the older you get, you start recognizing you want to be well, you want to be healthy, and whatever that degree is, whether it's good sleep, the way you eat, exercise or your wellness, I think that's acknowledging, you know, what you want to be. And I think that's what life's all about, basically. And again, I don't lament the time I spent endlessly boozed because I had such a good time. And I refuse to say I should have done this earlier, because for me, I didn't do it earlier. And the past is the past. We're here now. I think the older I've got now, I'm really into reading more than I ever was because I've got the time. And I think those small things, like I remember talking to Sharon about it, you know, one of the podcasts, and it's just where you start seeing the magic in life. And it might be the blue sky in the morning or listening to the birds, you know, those small things were just never turned up before because you were, you know, the shame had come in and the anxiety was there and you were thinking about what you'd done the night before. And when all that noise is gone, you feel better. And I think also back to the 20 and 20 or before, you just say to yourself, actually, just give it up now, because navigating through four drinks tonight or one drink tomorrow or this or that, it's just too hard.
Chaos.
So just shut the book, shut it down, and start seeing all the other parts of life that just weren't on your radar before.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the most important part of life now.
20 and 2020 is a terrible idea, by the way. Just for anyone who's just really bad idea, because all that happened was that I was thinking about when I'm counting down. I said I can drink next Tuesday because this is happening. You know, I'm counting that down and then I just absolutely binge. It was a terrible, terrible idea for body and mind. Really bad. Just giving it up was much better. Sharon's got a hand up politely.
Yes, it was a terrible idea.
And I told you so.
No. Actually, I'm going to surprise you now, Ben.
Yeah.
Because we went through all that on the podcast and we've laughed about it a lot ever since. And only recently did I say this to you. All right, it didn't work out and it was probably never going to. However, like Hayden has talked about here, when he thought back to his 40th, that's where it began for you. Those seeds were planted and you would have never, maybe ever, have even considered that thought of moderation and changing your habits had we not started on this podcast, had you not become our podcast editor. But because I was wanging on week in, week out, ain't it good, take a break, do this, try this, you're like, flipping it. Right, okay, I'm just going to change my thinking. Yeah, all right, it didn't work. But then you did the next thing and went, bloody hell, right, all right, you know what, I'll try a month. She's always going on about it. Let's try a month. Mm. And now here you are 4 years later. So I wouldn't dismiss it as some terrible experiment that went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's actually really important to acknowledge it, because for you, I truly believe, having been on this journey with you by your side since the beginning, Ben, that it's where you're on the journey, where the seeds were planted. Mm. So,
but a terrible idea.
Jumping in too, when you guys talk about that on the pod, you've got to appreciate how much of an influence you both are. You know, congratulations on 6 years. And I've been listening since you were a year or 2 years, and that's amazing. You know, congratulations.
Thank you.
But also, Ben, for you and listening to you, it was another guy where I think we're probably about 10 years apart in age. And it was good to hear that, you know, that your life was this place and you were doing these things as well, because without you two doing this podcast, you know, there would be a lot of people still drinking. I can tell you that right now. And I remember saying to Sharon one point, do you actually realize the influence in what you create? You've got this guy in New Zealand who's got a family of four kids that's basically stopped drinking because Ben and Sharon have a podcast in the UK.
Like, that it hurts my head. It fries my
brain. I know,
but
the tentacles of what you were doing is mind-blowing. And, you know, you both basically need to be put up for, you know, awards, because you're just incredible. And your little stories or your little nuggets about your life, you know, Ben, I've heard about Leo, you know, and Sharon, you know, you had your little operation, and you're human too. And I think that your stories just transcend the kind of stories that we're all going through as well. We're all human, we're all flesh and bone. And having that kind of human connection is incredible, you know. And we're celebrating your successes as well. Like, congratulations on the book, you know.
That's crazy. Thank you.
It's brilliant. We can't wait to hear it. So I guess on behalf of the community, I just wanted to say, look, without you guys, we're nothing.
Oh man, you, alive, Hayden.
Yeah, no, you're the guy. You're the guides to us, you know. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, because who knew with logging on I'd be here in my kitchen at, you know, 5:40 now in New Zealand talking to you two about my journey of sobriety. It's mind-blowing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it is. And sometimes when we stop and we think about it, you go, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And it is about connection. You've mentioned Chris in this episode. Yeah. Chris is a fantastic community member. He's also become a very good friend. And he's flown over for our OTI events numerous times. And he sent me a message today and he said, Shaz, congrats on the 6 years. And I was like, cheers. He said, did you ever think that when you started out doing this, like even 6 years ago, and then the community and the podcast, that you'd be organising a day out in Blackpool with your mate from New York?
I know.
Here we are, Hayden, chatting to you, father of four, with the best hair I ever did see. My eldest has just qualified as a chartered accountant, actually.
Oh, cool. Well, if he wants to come and work in New Zealand, I'll give him a job.
You know what? He'll go for any opportunity. I shall pass that on to him. Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're carry on.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say other community members. I just wanted to give a shout out, and Rebecca's one of them too. I just think she's cool, man, and stories, and she's cheeky. She's amazing.
She's so lovely.
Always smiling.
Aaron as well. I mean, I haven't much to do with him, but just his cheeky Scottishness. There's so many cool people on the podcast, in the community, you know. So one day I'll have to get back to the UK and climb a mountain.
Yeah, and we would. I mean, I'm a little bit over mountains at the moment.
I'm not doing them ever again. I'm doing the three peaks this weekend, and I don't want to go.
Well, if you get a spare weekend, you must come to New Zealand, and I'll
just for the weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, Hayden, it's on my bucket list. Without
one day, we'll take you up on that for sure.
Good. Great.
And you know what? Like, ridiculous things do happen. Ridiculous things happen in sobriety. This connection now, you're in your kitchen in tomorrow. On the other side of the world, you know, I'm in my boiler room in Lancashire and Ben's in his top room in Liverpool. Yet here we are. And the one thing, as with every episode of this podcast, is within the community that's brought us together as friends, is we all retired from drinking.
We have.
And that's a glorious thing, Hayden.
That's right.
And you know what, Hayden? I'm really glad that you found us when you did, because, you know, you said, you know, earlier on, drinking is a bad habit. It is, yeah. It gets worse. It gets progressively worse, and it's not a bad habit anymore. It's something that is all-consuming, and it destroys lives, kills people. We don't have to, you know, there's so many devastating consequences that bad habit can turn into. But you're who we want to speak to. You know, we want to catch people. It's that Desmond Tutu quote, Shaz. We've got to stop pulling people out the river and go upstream and find out why they're falling in. You know, we want to catch people whilst drinking is still a bad habit. You know, that's the moment we want to catch them. We want to, you know, give them that. What's the word we use? Make it more palatable to start off, you know, to catch them then before that bad habit becomes something much worse and more damaging, you know. So I'm really glad that you found us when you did, mate.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, I've got a quote too. I don't know if I should say it, but again,
please do.
It's whatever position you are with drinking. So I don't think you can look at it and say, well, you don't drink enough to qualify. You know, I say, it's not the size of the wand, it's the wizard behind it.
Oh, we like that a lot.
Which essentially can be taken anyway, but what I tend to say with that is you can change anything. Doesn't matter how big the wand is, it's the wizard behind it, right?
Yeah. That's so good, Ben. Get that on your clothes board, will you? We're wheeling that out weekly from this point forward. Ben, what about your wand size?
Doesn't matter. It's about the wizard behind it.
Apparently, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
There you go, buddy. That's right.
I'm on board.
Now we're talking about wands. I'm sorry I took you there.
It's fine. Too early for you, this nonsense. Too early in the day. It really is. Hayden, I echo what what Ben said. So chuffed that OTI came into your life when it did. And we're very grateful that you are a friend and community member. And I mean, we don't have to talk about this, but we can briefly touch on it as we are at the end of the episode. Ben Hayden wants to get more involved with OTI, and he's
yes,
now
he
going
does.
From being a, well, you're still a community member, obviously, which is fantastic, but also reaching back and helping others that maybe where you were 16 months ago and hosting Zoom calls for us on the other side of the world. Hayden, that makes our heart sing. Thank you. How are you feeling about that?
Look, I think I'd love to do it because, well, one thing, if there's people in Australia or New Zealand and it's time zones, we could get some more sort of palatable time zones. I mean, the world is round. We've got different time zones, right? So that's part of it. But also, I just kind of think I could add some good value, practical approaches. Again, you know, no massive fanfare around it. It's just helping people, you know, work through where they're at with it all. I'm up for it. I love a challenge. So yeah, willing to give it a go.
And I hope you get a load of fellas joining your Zoom call, Hayden. You know, I think, you know what we were talking about earlier reminded me of a post, and I won't say who it is because obviously it's within the privacy of the community. But did you see the post last week where a lady was talking about her son and talking about OTI? If you didn't,
I did.
So my family all know how into OTI I am. It starts off. My son will say when we're out, "Mom, do you need to be looking at OTI now?" I don't, and it makes me laugh as the kind of thing I say to him. He recently asked me if it was all women on OTI, assuming that it would be. I think he thought that as it was a lot of sharing feelings, that it would be all women who were doing that. I was really happy to tell him there are lots of men in OTI and they share how they're feeling. It reminded me what I love about this community. So I just want to say thanks to the men and for helping me to have this conversation with my son. This is something that I want for him too. Isn't that really nice? Love that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's important that, you know, everyone talks about this, but personally, I love it when a fella opens up and puts hearts on his Zoom screen. Yeah. So thanks, Hayden.
Absolutely. All the hearts. There we go. Little hearts there for Hayden Sayers. We're all trying to do it, but we're all a little bit too old and we don't quite know what to do with our fingers there.
Yeah.
Hayden, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for getting up at the cracker sparrows, as we would say in Lancashire, on the other side of the world. Massively appreciated. Thank you for everything you give the community as well on the Zoom calls. And it's just been brilliant. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'd love to talk to people on Zoom soon through the community. And if you haven't joined, just get in there and join it. Even if it's for a month, just give it a go. You're going to find it's going to be very, very helpful.